You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The big question, amid all the rhetoric and threats of escalation, is does this change matters on the ground? Still, Ukraine pushes forwards despite slight Russian gains around Bakhmut. Russia still struggles to match its status as a nuclear power with real progress and strategy on the ground. Putin's bid to appear strong, perhaps a reminder of how weak this war of choice has left him.
And nobody knows what's in that guy's head, Putin, or what's going to happen next. A little analysis from the Washington Post in a second. I did a little research last night just because I got some pushback on the text line when I said a couple of times yesterday that Russia has the largest nuclear arsenal in the world. And some people said, no, they don't. And in fact, they do. But just to hit you with the numbers, Russia has almost 6,000 nuclear warheads, which is the largest in the entire world. Mm-hmm. They were always ahead of us in terms of nuclear warheads during the Cold War. To hit you with a little history and numbers compared to where we are now. Now, keep that number in mind. Russia has the largest nuclear arsenal at 6,000. In the 80s, at the height of the Cold War, we had 32,000.
Wow.
Russia currently has 6,000. We had 32,000 at the height of the Cold War. Russia had 45,000 nuclear warheads. In
Great
the 80s.
Scott, as was often discussed at the time, enough to blow up the entire world many times over.
Oh, over and over and over again. And how about one more time for good measure?
Hey, there's still a little rubble over there.
The peak being in 1986. And Russia still has enough, and we have enough to blow up the world many times over and over and over again. Part of it because these are H-bombs, not A-bombs. Do a little research on that. Nobody's ever actually used an H-bomb in a war, and oh my God, if that
let's
ever happens.
Let's pray they don't.
Yeah, let's hope none of us ever see that happen. But isn't that a stunning number? 45,000 nuclear warheads that Russia had at the same time that we had 32,000.
Wow.
And that,
wow.
Well, that's how it got brought back down between Reagan and Gorbachev, who recently died, was at some point, I think everybody realized this is getting ridiculous. I mean, what are we doing here?
Right. Yeah. Hence the SALT treaties. among other things. You know, I was reminded the other day, one of our brilliant listeners emailed us, mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com, reminding me of a quote that he said I brought to the show, but I don't recall, and it doesn't matter. But a military analyst described Russia militarily as a midget with one gigantic arm.
Hmm. I'd pay to see that act.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. No filter. You got no. Oh, man. Anyway, militarily, not impressive at all, but with a nuclear arsenal that could wipe out humanity.
Right.
And sure enough, they were even less a paper tiger than we thought. It's like a poor quality paper tiger.
Right.
Although plenty strong enough to kill the tens of thousands, which is a horror.
Yeah. And with conventional weapons, you know, they're raping and murdering men, women, and children every single day, and it's just awful. Back to the war where we are now. Washington Post analysis that I thought was pretty interesting. So the current numbers that are believed 6 months into the war, 40 to 80,000 Russian soldiers are dead, wounded, or have deserted. 40 to 80,000. I mean, that's an unbelievable number.
Yeah, if the low number is 40, even the low number is shocking.
Some 6,200 military vehicles, among Russia's most sophisticated, have been destroyed or abandoned. Deserters and refuseniks. That's an actual word. I didn't know that was an actual word. Deserters and refuseniks now make up an estimated 20 to 40% of frontline units.
Wow. Haven't we learned from Mike Lyons that if a unit loses 15%, it's considered no longer operational?
Yeah. Back to the analysis. Will Russia's partial mobilization succeed in stemming the tide and increase Russian military effectiveness? My research on the sources of military effectiveness suggests that's unlikely. Newly mobilized soldiers are likely to be poorly trained, their prior combat experience a distant memory, a high death rate among officers in the Russian army, which we've heard a lot about, in part because of deliberate Ukrainian targeting, has left Putin's military without sufficient trainers to train these new people. In the race to master and implement the lessons of this war, the Ukrainians have surged far ahead. This means Russian troops will be facing more skilled Ukrainian forces than they were 6 months ago, while Russia's are less trained and skilled. And the Ukrainians have mastered the tenets of decentralized warfare by small, highly motivated, and independent units. Nor does Russia have the equipment stocks to make good on its losses. Ancient tanks now, cannibalized from Soviet-era stockpiles, are already on the front lines. In many cases, the tanks are far older than their operators. That's got to be annoying. You're a 25-year-old tank operator, and the tank is from the 80s. You're thinking, what the hell?
You got, like, all analog dials and stuff like that. Not that there's anything wrong with analog, but, yeah, wow, wow.
If the best equipped, and the final analysis here, if the best equipped and trained Russian soldiers couldn't seize Kyiv or hold Kharkiv, it isn't clear why this second wave would fare any better, which is a pretty good question.
Well, and if you had the rate of desertion and refusenikism that you did among those who had volunteered to be in the Russian military, those who were yanked out of their jobs and farms and living rooms and all, I mean, I can't even imagine. Well, we've been discussing over the last couple of days the fact that one-way flights out of Russia have been completely full, and now Russia has banned the sale of any airline ticket to anyone, any man between the ages, I think it's 18 and 54.
Whoa, I didn't hear that.
Don't hold me down on that upper age, but
that's our target demo.
You are legally forbidden from leaving Russia at this point because so many thousands of men are fleeing.
Yeah. And there can't hardly be. What percentage of men in Russia right now think this is a cause worth fighting for? As opposed to Ukraine, where it's like 99% are willing to lay down their lives to fight for their country. What percentage of Russian men are willing to do that? It's got to be very, very low.
With crappy equipment and corrupt leadership?
So the ambassador to Ukraine, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine yesterday, echoing what the president said in front of a chunk of the U.N., said the United States is prepared to support Ukraine throughout even a prolonged conflict. We're in it to win it. She didn't say that. That would be a little too cutesy. And will respond decisively if Russia uses nuclear weapons, the U.S. ambassador said yesterday. So we are making all the noises you would make if you're very, very serious about this. Watched a whole bunch of videos yesterday of crowds gathering on main streets in various cities, including there in Moscow. Send Putin to the trenches, they were chanting.
Ooh, that's a good chant.
Yeah. They were chanting in Moscow yesterday. So far, according to Ian Bremmer, 1,252 people have been arrested in 38 cities across Russia for protesting the war.
Huh.
We'll see if that grows or if the authoritarian got on the that and scared enough people off, as often happens.
Well, all that's very heavy, so now a little humor. The United States Nations Security Council is meeting today to discuss Russia's 7-month war in Ukraine with Russia on the panel.
Wow. How do you even go through the motions?
The agenda for the council's meeting is Russia's apparent impunity in the war, and the session was scheduled for this week to draw attention to Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera.
I wish our representative, our ambassador, whoever, and I wish everybody would just, every time that it's their turn to talk, would just say, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous until they turn off your microphone.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Security Council diplomats said there was no plan to introduce a resolution or action to impose sanctions on Russia. He said he expected that individual member states would address the latest developments during speeches, as well as discuss the new evidence discovered in Ukraine of human rights violations by Russia. As one of the five permanent members of the Security Council, Russia has veto power and could block any action against itself anyway. But I tell you this, I vow this.
Russia has veto power. One veto means it can't happen from the people that are committing the atrocities that they've gathered to discuss. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard.
Well, maybe, but I vow this. There are pitchers of ice water on that table. That ice will be rattled. That water will be drank. There will be croissants. They will be eaten, some of them buttered. And we will give really nasty looks to the Russian ambassador.
I know.
And then we'll go back to giving speeches.
I know what I'll do. My son's in trouble for something, and me, mom, and the kid will have a meeting, and we all have equal veto power on his punishment. And if he decides, I don't think we should punish me, then, well, I guess we won't punish him because that's the way we've set up this committee.
But there are some damn fine speeches delivered.
God dang it. You got to be a certain breed of person, I guess, to think that these incremental getting togethers of the WHO or the UN Security Council or whatever are the way to fix the problems of the world. Whatever. Good for you.
I suppose you could argue we will send an unequivocal message that you have no support. You have nothing but condemnation and it ain't going to end. I guess.
They caught Fat Leonard in Venezuela, among other stories. That we
yes.
You know why they caught him? Slow afoot.
Too damn fat.
Too damn fat. Much on the way. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Southwest Airlines surprised passengers on a recent flight from Long Beach, California to Hawaii. They surprised the passengers with free ukuleles and free on-plane lessons. Brilliant. What could be more relaxing on a 6-hour flight than hundreds of people playing the ukulele for the first time? So the answer is yes, yes. There is something worse than a child kicking your chair for an entire flight. I get that they're, like, you know, trying to have fun. That's not what flights are for. They're not meant to be fun. They're for sleeping or just staring straight ahead, pretending that you're listening to something on your headphones so you don't have to talk to this person right next to you.
Yeah, beginners on instruments are tough.
It's a cute idea.
Ow.
If you could limit it to, like, I don't know, 15 minutes.
I was
going
to say, everybody gets 10 minutes to mess around with this instrument you can't play. Then you got to put it away.
Although they gave, lessons right there. All right, take your index finger, press down on the second fret, right there, right? Strum.
That's an A chord.
Yeah, that sounds kind of fun. The fact that it was thrown upon them without warning involuntarily is controversial. All right, everybody pick up the trombone. What? Why? I don't want a trombone. What are you doing?
And we've handed out bagpipes to everyone today. Everybody, squeeze on the bagpipe.
Oh, no.
Hooray! Hooray!
No, nobody'd be that cruel.
Breaking sports news, the Boston Celtics made the finals this last year, if you'll remember, losing to the Golden State Warriors.
Excuse me, it's the Celtics. It's a culture, not a costume.
Well, their head coach is not going to get to coach for the entire year because he had an improper intimate relationship with a staffer. The only reason I bring this up is not for the sports news. It's just we got to figure this out as a society. You know, if he sexually harassed somebody who didn't want it, okay, fine. But if he was just in a grown-up relationship with somebody who was as interested as him, we got to quit treating it like this. You're defying human nature.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, the counter to that is if the Celtics organization, and again, racism has no place in America against the Irish. If the rules were quite clearly set forward, if you're going to work for this organization, here are the rules. And he violated them. You know, they really had no choice. But your point, I'm guessing, would be you got to reconsider those rules.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know.
She's happy. He's happy.
No, I don't know.
I don't know the story.
No, but I don't know if that's the case. But if it was, come on.
Yeah.
Human nature and whatnot.
Yeah. Coming up, one of the greatest, most concise yet complete descriptions of the whole critical race theory thing from a student newspaper of all things. Help you understand that and help you recognize it when it's going by other names in your school district, for instance. And then I love this. This was from who published this? The Hill, actually. Why has fact-checking disappeared under Biden? You know the answer already, right? It's that fact-checking was never about fact-checking per se. It was just politics under a different banner.
Mm-hmm.
It was opinion, often. Fact-checking under President Biden or under President Trump was a bustling business. Seemingly every day, sometimes by the hour, the 45th president's every word was scrutinized, which all comes with the job. But under President Biden, fact-checkers are enjoying what feels like an extended vacation or simply checked out. Et cetera. Take CNN fact-checker Daniel Dale as a prime example of apathy around holding the current president accountable. From June 19 to November 20, so that's 17 months, roughly, Dale appeared or was mentioned on CNN more than once per day, according to Mediaite. Estimating conservatively, that's more than 500 appearances or mentions on the national network in the span of just 16 months. 500 appearances. But Dale has become the fact-checker version of Edward Snowden under Biden. He's almost impossible to find these days. In fact, Dale has not conducted even one fact-check of the president since June.
Oh, wow.
Not a single one.
Wow. So none of that stuff about the Inflation Reduction Act that didn't have anything to do with inflation was worth fact-checking? Okay.
Oh, I got a list. Yeah, yeah. But, of course, Biden supporters might insist that Dale simply doesn't have any material to work with. But that's not true. In August, Biden declared that inflation in July was zero, despite the number being near a 40-year high at 8.3%. Last week, Biden claimed the Inflation Reduction Act, which numerous studies have concluded will do almost nothing to reduce inflation, has already, quote, helped reduce inflation at the kitchen table. In a related story, food prices rose again in August with the consumer price index up 10.6% year over year. So they skyrocketed prices at the kitchen table, unrelated to the act. But there are many other examples from the summer, but you get the point. The most powerful man in the country needs to be held accountable for his words and actions, particularly in an election year. But fact checkers and mainstream outlets refuse to do it. Situation even worse when it comes to White House Press Secretary KJP. She's been fact-checked once by PolitiFact since June.
Wow!
This is the same press secretary who claimed earlier this month that people aren't just walking across the country, across the U.S. southern border, when in fact that's precisely what happens every single day on the ground.
Well, did anybody fact-check Kamala on the border is secure?
Nope. No, they didn't mention it. They kind of shuffled their feet and looked down. She claimed the administration had halted border wall construction, is doing a lot more than the Trump administration to secure the border.
Right.
Many opportunities.
This is the least shocking thing I've heard today, though.
Yeah. Oh.
You miss an hour, get the podcast.
Armstrong and
enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
According to a new survey, 3% of Americans said that they have waited in a line for over 8 hours. Well, we're still not opening a second register, said CVS.
Oh, boy. Oh, a blast.
I mentioned I saw a line outside the Apple store. It was like a block long for people wanting to buy the new $1,000 iPhone 14.
Wow. And, more proof that times are tough.
It's hard to figure out what's going on with the economy. But then I came across this stat. 1 in 5 Americans believe it is worth taking on debt to pay for their new iPhone 14. 1 in 5 Americans. Which is fine. I don't care what you do as long as I don't have to bail you out at some point with my tax money.
Including when you're old and destitute.
Exactly. You don't get to be on the news saying, how am I supposed to get by? I deserve a... What is that term Barack Obama used about retirement?
Dignified retirement?
I deserve a dignified retirement. You took on debt to buy a new phone you didn't need.
Yeah. Boy, don't get me started on that topic. But anyway, so we were talking earlier today about the infamous incident in which a black Duke volleyball player was heckled using racial terms at Brigham Young University in Utah. Well, a thorough investigation found it did not happen. Meanwhile, BYU was greeted with obscene chants, F the Mormons, at Oregon.
That's terrible.
Oregon State for a football game. Oregon State has, University of Oregon. I just impugned the fine folks of the Beavers? I apologize to Beavers everywhere. It was the Ducks who were offensive. But University of Oregon has apologized up and down, said, terrible, we're looking into it, we apologize. So, great. But the volleyball player never happened. And this article in BYU's student paper, which is absolutely beautifully written, this kid has a future, it talks about the non-incident and the incident and how Duke University made a statement. We unequivocally stand with and champion these players, especially when their character is called into question. Duke Athletics believes in respect, equality, and inclusiveness, and we do not tolerate hate and bias. They never acknowledged the results of the investigation, but they pledged loyalty to the team that just disseminated unfounded accusations of racism. The validity of the allegations doesn't matter. Duke will unequivocally, quote, defend their team, even if the incident never happened. These political power games are not uncommon in the framework of critical race theory.
Huh.
And then this student, author, journalist goes into a brief introduction of critical race theory, and I've read many, 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 many pages about this. I found this particularly good. Critical race theory posits that all economic, social, political, and individual inequalities are results of racism. If taken logically to its full extent, one would then wonder why Indian Americans are the most prosperous ethnic group in America, given the supposed systemic white supremacy. But CRT has deep philosophical and ideological backgrounds that cannot be explained fully in a single article, and you ought to read more, he says. But we can single out various aspects of CRT that are apparent in the reactions to the racial heckling incident. There is a reason that Rachel Richardson, the black volleyball player, Black Menaces, Stop Your Silence, those are all groups, activist groups, immediately advocated for critical race theory or anti-racism training at BYU, even without verifying the allegations. Critical race theory is a fusion of neo-Marxism and postmodernism. Originating from French intellectuals in the 60s and 70s, postmodernism is the radical skepticism and criticism of meta-narratives, which we'll explain later, but and Enlightenment reasoning. They're anti the Enlightenment, if you can believe that. Typical postmodern ideas claim that logic, reason, speech, and discourse are all manifestations of power. While this may seem unclear to the reader, these tenets of postmodernism have been implemented directly into critical race theory. To summarize, there is no truth. There's no fact. Data, research, science, objective observation, they don't exist. If you claim they exist, you're a liar and a racist, because you just think they exist because you've been brought up in a particular society and your science is your truth. But other societies have other truth. Hence the whole thing James Lindsay's been railing about, that 2 + 2 can equal 5.
Right.
Right. Let's see.
Which
in the beginning.
Well, you start down that road and it gets very, your brain starts to cramp up.
Yeah, I'd say. In the beginning paragraph of their book, Critical Race Theory and Introduction, these folks who are prominent critical race theorists state the following. Unlike traditional civil rights, which embrace incrementalism and step-by-step progress, CRT questions the very foundations of the liberal order, including equality theory, legal reasoning, enlightenment rationalism, and neutral principles of constitutional law. So, very briefly, they are anti-traditional civil rights. They question equality. They question legal reasoning. They question enlightenment rationalism and the neutral principles of constitutional law. They want to tear them all up.
With the ultimate goal being chaos?
See, that's the interesting thing. I think the original critical theory people, having read a lot about this, I think they're your typical philosophy major types and philosophers and academics. They think and they come up with these structures and theories and they argue about it. And then they grow long white beards and they drink cocktails and they go to parties and eventually they croak. And maybe somebody reads their books a few years down the line, but probably not.
They grow long white beards.
Including the women. And so, but it was interesting, but harmless. But then, and James Lindsay and Helen Pluckrose have written some great stuff about this in their book, Cynical Theories. But as it is, it has elements of neo-Marxism in it. And so what it becomes is a really effective tool for tearing everything down that you want to replace. Because you pick and you pick and you pick. You invent being offended by various aspects of the language being used. The term problematic. That's key to this whole thing. And so while it was a useless but harmless philosophical theory at first, it's become an incredibly effective tool, if you're vicious enough, in destroying virtually anything from constitutional rights to the legal system to police forces to whatever, because you want to replace it with something more handy to your neo-Marxist beliefs. Now, the whole, how do you explain this? The question of lived realities is really key to this whole question. And we'll get to it because it's super important to understand this. After a quick word from our friends at SimpliSafe Home Security, not only the best home security, but the most reasonably priced and the simplest. It's all those things. It's not a compromise.
Yeah. The fact that SimpliSafe can be so good for about a dollar a day, it's just fantastic, and no long-term contracts or anything like that. A lot of security systems, I know somebody very well who's locked in for 2 years on a security system they don't use at all. Happens all the time. Not with SimpliSafe. They trust the fact that you're going to like it enough. They don't need to lock you into a long contract. They're 24/7 professional monitoring with SimpliSafe agents there to help you get through whatever emergency it is. Sometimes even staying on the line with you until help arrives. All that for about a dollar a day.
Yeah, the people are great, and the gear is great. Like I always say, check out the high-def night vision outdoor camera. It's wireless. You can install it anywhere. Keep the randos away from your stuff and your
randos!
Family.
Randos!
Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplisafe.com/Armstrong. Go today. You can claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off with interactive monitoring. Go to simplisafe.com/Armstrong.
Coming up, how 8 glasses of water, 10,000 steps, and other healthy guidelines are BS. Stay tuned.
Of course. So this whole in critical race theory and introduction to the book, legal storytelling has its own chapter. It's a method in science and law that communicates the lived realities of those affected by systemic racism. It's a hyper-emotional analysis of fact. An example of CRT storytelling, Jesse Smollett, who claimed that two men attempted to lynch him while calling him racial slurs and saying this is MAGA country. The outrage from this incident was similar to the coverage of the media claiming Rachel Richardson, the volleyball player story, was evidence of systemic and institutional racism. Today, Jesse Smollett still sticks to his false narrative. To him, it's reality. It's his reality. And one of the key tenets of this is that there is no objective reality. If you believe it to be true, if you are offended, what was said was offensive.
Correct.
It doesn't matter if you're neurotic, psychotic, you're a racist yourself.
Easily butthurt.
Easily butthurt. EBH, as we say in the professional community. That doesn't matter. Your emotion is the truth, which is fine if you're a three-year-old. For adults, that doesn't work so well. But they would say, oh, that's because, number one, you're a white man. Number two, you grew up in a society that values this so-called enlightenment reasoning. My society doesn't. You can't claim reasoning and truth. How dare you, you're racist.
We've talked about this and how it's affected high school and college debates, where in some of the debating world that has taken hold. So you can't show up to the debate with facts because your lived experience are your facts. And there's no changing that. So,
and if you have ever observed, whether at a city council meeting or a school board meeting or in an argument on a campus or whatever, the person who screeches the loudest and most angrily wins, because their lived experience is obviously very, very powerful. And you saying, hey, hey, we need to calm down. Nobody slurred the volleyball player. You lose. You just lost that debate. That's a hell of a way to try to run a society. But again, half of this, half of it, 20%, 80%, I don't know. Part of this is sincerely held by misguided people. Because if you study the history of humanity, you see not one, not 10, but 1,000 examples of people falling for a bizarre ideology that in retrospect, you think, how could anybody fall for that? So you've got that. They're sincere, but they're misguided. And then you got the cynical side, which I was describing before. It's an incredibly effective acid for dissolving anything you want to change. Because up until roughly now, people were so horrified to be called a racist that they would immediately back down.
Sure.
Immediately. Now, not so much.
Like that poor art director at the Guggenheim we were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
Who stepped down after charges, and then it turned out the person charging was a complete nut job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to fight this stuff if you can, friends, or it will wash over us.
We mentioned that the whole 10,000 steps should be the goal every day is rooted in nonsense. There are a couple other examples of that from health experts that are kind of fun to take a look at. A little more in that whole 1 in 5 Americans believe going into debt for a new iPhone makes sense. That worries me.
Yeah.
As a taxpayer. Bunch of other things we can get into where they did catch Fat Leonard, who escaped in San Diego, if you're following that story. All that stuff on the way.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I heard that the latest Gen Z fashion trend is wearing jeans with the button undone. Yeah, which means after Thanksgiving dinner, every uncle's gonna be like, "Oh, I look like Gigi freaking Hadid over here. What am I doing? Hey,
I have seen that. I live in a college town, and particularly the college girls, that's a thing. And, you know, the midriff-bearing look is popular once again. So your shirt stops here, and then your jeans are unbuttoned. A little more alluring than I want out of just my daily dress.
Yes, in normal society, there's only one time you see that.
Looking at the USA Today, Ringo Starr stays busy. Good for you if you're the sort of person that clicks on that story, I guess.
Tell me more.
And you want to know how Ringo Starr is staying busy. That's just, all right. But anyway, underneath that is really the big headline. Financially, for all of us, the Fed has gone with another big 3/4-point rate hike all at once, barreling ahead with their third, what they call here, outsize interest rate hike. I don't think it's outsize. I think it's the right size and maybe a little too small. Until we curb inflation, we got to keep going.
You know how I occupy my time, unlike Ringo? Flip through real estate listings. My house, our current house, is down 1% in the last month, according to one of your major websites. You know, grain of salt. The house we sold a couple of years back is down 2%. Our little place up in the mountains is down 2.5% in the last 30 days. I can keep going if you want.
Well, I'm on the sidelines, so I'm hoping to jump into the market at some point. Of course, doesn't matter how much the homes go down. If the interest rates keep going up, you can't afford to buy a house.
My sister's house is down almost 3% in the last 30 days.
Although I must point out again that historically, interest rates are still quite low. 20 years ago, interest rates hit 6, and people are running out to buy houses as fast as they can.
Yeah. You know, instead of, these higher rates are going to blah, 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 which is true. But the other way to look at it is, all right, we're finally coming down from the Coke binge of practically free credit.
Health BS. They go through some of these you may disagree with. I don't know. We mentioned the other day the whole 10,000 steps thing is made up. It actually was invented by an Australian guy or something like that. And it was just because the symbol and the language he was using looked cool at 10,000. He invented the pedometer. I mean, it was completely random that he chose 10,000 steps as the goal, but it kind of caught on, and you regularly hear about people getting their 10,000 steps in.
It's kind of a funny coincidence that big round number with a bunch of zeros, that it's fun to see your odometer roll past, is the goal.
Yeah, they actually say around 7,000 steps is a pretty good goal to hit. And beyond that, it's not clear that you're doing yourself good.
Beyond that, your dogs are going to be barking.
Drinking 8 glasses of water a day is crucial. These doctors say it's not. Gulping down 64 ounces of H2O every day isn't as important as we've been led to believe. Most people get enough water from the foods they eat and other beverages throughout the day. There's nothing magic about 8 glasses of water. All right. There's no downside either.
You know, I'm like a third again, or 40%, something like that, 25% bigger than my wife. I mean, the idea that the both of us need the same, that's just silly.
Good that you gave us a percentage, how much bigger you are than your wife, so we can all picture that.
Well, it's a rough measurement. I mean, height, et cetera.
I think most of us have heard this over the years, right? Eating late at night causes weight gain. It's how much you eat, but when you eat it doesn't really have that much of an effect, they don't think. Breakfast is the most important meal. Doesn't really matter. Again, it's the calories. How many calories did you take in yesterday? It doesn't matter if it was at 8 in the morning or 8 at night or noon. Try to eat less. Organic food is better for you. Organic food sounds like it should be better for you, but there really aren't any studies to back that up. It's a good idea to wash your fruits, your vegetables, and that sort of thing. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of adverse health effects if pesticides are consumed. The bottom line is that people should eat more plant products, fruit and vegetables, whether it's organic or not.
You're less likely to have grasshoppers in your belly.
Organic's definitely better for the environment, it points out here, and I think a fair amount of people buy organic for that reason, because of the way it's produced and what it does for the environment, not just what it does for your own health. Although a lot of organic is phony, as we've talked about a lot through the years, because there's very little regulation on the term organic, so...
I accidentally bought some organic bananas the other day. Man, one of them went south on me in a big hurry.
Yeah, I buy the organic bananas. I have no idea why, but I do. They do not. They go south on you fast.
Yeah.
My son's on a banana kick, though. He goes through them so fast. They're not gonna go bad before he gets to them.
What was he?
He was singing. He was quoting a Beck song the other day. In the age of the chimpanzee, I was a monkey, from that Beck song. He's eating bananas like crazy. And one more. Coffee is bad for you. Well, I'm not even going to get started on the coffee studies. If you miss an hour of the show, grab the podcast. Search for Armstrong and Getty On Demand. You will probably find it.
I'll tell you this. I read a lot about coffee because I drink a lot of coffee. Coffee is great for you.
Jeff McCausland, great thinker. About military stuff, going to kick off hour three talking about the war in Ukraine.
Armstrong.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.